What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today's topic is all about how to keep your kids entertained during the summer, or any time for that matter. Join Warren and I as we talk about what activities have worked well for us and the creative ideas that are out there for everyone to use. Also, as always, if you're new to the show, consider subscribing. It really helps us out, and you'll be notified every Tuesday and Thursday when we release new episodes. Stick around and listen as two flawed dads try not to screw up their kids too bad. Hello, Warren.
Hey, Graham. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. This is a good topic for us to discuss because I am struggling to figure out what to do with my children. So
I think this is a great topic because I think it's something that most parents struggle with.
As always, it is a good topic.
Yeah. I mean, when you have schooling and that sort of thing to take care of your kids for 9.5 months of the year, those other 2.5 months, you know, 2 months consolidated down in the summer to figure out, what am I going to do with these little monsters for 24 hours a day?
And can we somehow do it where I'm not involved as much? Is that possible?
That's the ultimate challenge. I mean, unless, of course, you like spending time with your kids, then, you know.
I think, for the most part, you do.
Yeah.
But I think everyone needs a break when they're always, let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. There are always things that you need to do during the day. Mm-hmm. And other than sticking them in front of a TV screen, which is certainly a way to go.
Very effective.
It works 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And they are not spoken of, not heard of. Like, are they still there? Check, are they breathing type stuff? It works well. But if you're trying to cut down on that, is there some other way that we can do it?
So yes. Yeah. And I actually have a few ideas for you. Because we had to come up with some ideas. So I have taken a bit of time off this summer from my day job in order to spend a bit more time with the kids and get them out doing some activities. So I've got a couple of ideas for you.
I am all ears.
So one of the things that we did is we took and made a bucket list of activities for the kids for the summer.
All right.
So I went through and collected ideas from each of them individually that they might like to do for the summer. So some of the things were like farm tours, going to the local amusement park, pool days, beach days, going to the local water park, splash parks. What else was on there? There were things like doing a pottery class. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Visiting the Greater Vancouver Zoo, going out to some of the nature and wildlife reserves, going up to Whistler, going fishing, going camping. There's a whole huge list of things that the girls came up with. And then we ranked them.
Okay.
So we sat down and
So they came up with all these ideas themselves.
They came up with all the ideas. I helped them. I prodded along, you know, said, did you want to maybe go see some animals at some point this summer? And then, you know, got a resounding yes. And it was like, okay, well, where are some places we could go see some animals? And it was like, okay, well, there's the petting zoo. There's the zoo. There is all kinds of different areas. And so as we came up with that list, and we prioritized all the different things we wanted, we also had a calendar, a physical calendar available that we could then start plotting in when we were going to do things.
Nice.
So obviously, because I was taking some time off for the summer, you know, I can't take 2 straight months off because I'm not a teacher. You know, I'm only able to take off certain days on certain weeks. And so we had those days and they were highlighted in the calendar. And then we plugged in the activities based on prioritization and when it would work.
Right.
And then we posted the calendar, right? We put it up on the wall so that the girls would be able to see and anticipate what activity was coming up next.
Right.
Right. There's a couple of activities that I then went and booked, you know, bought tickets for them, those sorts of things. There's a few that you can't book unless you're only a week in advance sort of thing. So,
right.
You know, I have it
Thank
scheduled.
You, COVID. Yep.
Yeah. So I have it scheduled in my calendar to book it a week in advance to make sure that we don't miss that opportunity, that sort of thing. And we have a little bit of flexibility, you know, if it's rainy and we don't want to go to the zoo or that sort of thing, we can change it up a little bit. But we have a good idea as to what activities are coming up. And so the girls are super excited about it. You know, they know they're headed away on a little trip for the next 5 or 6 days. And so they're really excited for that. And they start packing like 2 days in advance because they're so excited. And they've got books set aside and all those sorts of things. So, you know, the activity planning has been great. And I'm really looking forward to a good summer where I'm getting the girls out of the house and away from technology.
Right. And so for a lot of those things, I mean, I guess where I'm going is that a lot of these thoughts of these activities, would most of them all be big sort of events where it requires you to go with them to take them someplace, et cetera? Or were there some that it's like, oh yeah, I think we should make
There were a couple of homemade craft sort of things. Like one of the things I had suggested to the girls was make a birdhouse. And they were into that, right? And so, you know, in August, on one of the days, we'll sit down and we'll make a birdhouse. But yes, these are all activities that involve me.
Right.
Right? And so that was my first go-to, was setting up the structure for the summer.
Yep.
So even if there are some days, like there are days where I'm working, but I'm working from home. And I'm not going to be able to monitor the girls and do activities with them throughout the day, which is why this is such a great topic, because I think there's a lot of people that go through that in the summer. And now I've got a framework for my summer with the activities, but now I need to backfill those days where I'm working,
right,
and need other things to do with them.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you a question. This is something that came up in a few articles I was reading about this topic, mm-hmm. and I wanted to see your thoughts on it. And
I'm all ears.
The number one thing that they said in these articles was, let your kids be bored. What do you think about that?
They're certainly, yeah, I like the idea. Mm. It opens up their imagination into things, etc. Especially if you create the restriction of no TV,
yeah,
as an option. Like, listen, you can't bother me. There's no TV because you use it all up. Don't burn down the house.
Right.
If you're going to play with water, do that outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, within sort of that framework here.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? I don't know.
Right.
What is it? I'm not your savior. What do you want to come up with?
Now, even the playing with water outside can result in you know, things not going all that well. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I much like this whole, you know, let your kids be bored and create their own fun. I was playing with a hose one day, and we had this staircase that went down to a basement,
yep,
in the house. And in playing with the hose, I left it on with the water running down the staircase because it created an interesting little waterfall, right?
Right. Yeah.
The drain at the bottom of the staircase happened to plug up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the water ran into the house and flooded the entire basement. And my parents to this very day remind me of the time that they had to rip up all of the carpet in the basement because I had flooded it. So
so maybe check in every now and then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a key. Is
what do you think about leaving them as bored?
I'm good with it. Totally good with it. I think it is incredibly important, and it drives me crazy when my oldest screams at me that she's bored. So we were out with my parents vacationing earlier this summer, and she had spent some days with my parents, just them, right? And the younger two stayed with Rachel and I. And my parents had been allowing her to spend a fair amount of time on technology on her laptop.
Right.
More than she should have. Significantly more than she should have. And she has, you know, she's got ADHD and a bit of an addictive personality.
Right.
Her computer broke.
Ah.
Okay. It was on its way out because she had spilled a can of bubbly water on it months before. So the keyboard wasn't working, that sort of thing. But it was a touchscreen Chromebook, right? And eventually the computer just gave out, wouldn't charge anymore, and it was right. dead. And this was like the day before we were supposed to leave. And she threw a massive fit, screaming that she was bored. Now we happen to be over at Salt Spring Island, and you know, there's lots of things to do. There's lots of outdoor space. There's a pool. There's yeah. ping pong tables. There's right. a playground. There's a volleyball court. There's horseshoes. There's a lot of stuff to entertain a young mind. But she could not get past the fact that she had lost what was her largest dopamine creator.
Right.
Was her computer.
Yep.
And so Rachel and I turned to each other afterwards and we're like, we have to wean her off of technology and get her back to the point where she can start to entertain herself with other things rather than technology. And so it's a work in progress getting there.
Yeah.
But it's something that we have to work on. And I think the being bored is a massive part of yeah. that.
The technology thing, which you've spoken about before, we're not opposed to technology. I mean, screen time, whatever yeah. you want to put it as. But I think it's a crutch ultimately. Like it's such an easy default to go to.
Yeah.
I know I don't do it often, but lying is one thing that comes up every now and then. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I end up pulling right away. Hey, yeah. If you're going to lie, you won't get in trouble if you tell the truth. Mm-hmm. That's my rule. But if you lie about it, that's where you're getting in trouble. So yeah. there's no advantage to lying here. And yet, for whatever reason, she still decides to do it.
Yeah.
Technology gets taken away, yeah. right? And it's actually really nice in the mornings. Like, there's not even a, oh, can I watch something or other? Because she knows that it's not on the table. So she plays with her little sister and yeah. like they're running around. Like, it's a totally different world. I'm like, boy, extend this no screen time thing mm-hmm. for quite a while here.
Yeah.
And we're not, I'm more strict for sure, but there are moments where if she comes over to her friend's house, there's she does still get to see some opportune times of whatever it is of watching something, but it's yeah. not very often. Yeah. Right. And so the happenstance is that they end up thinking of other things themselves. They end up playing, they do a whole bunch of other stuff. I guess within your framework, what your thought is that perhaps it's worth also sitting down and coming up with another set of lists
yeah.
of things to do that everyone has thought of.
Yeah.
And you could sort of say, well, check that list, man. Yeah. Like yeah, we're here at home.
Read a book. Draw a cartoon, you know, color, all those sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Like how many different things do you want to come up with? Now, I don't know whether I feel like that's a good suggestion. Mm-hmm. However, I believe that there's also really something because that's a solution for someone right away.
Yeah.
That you as a parent might say, if someone says, oh, I'm bored, you can also give the solution. Why don't you check the board? Mm-hmm. And I think that the best solution is actually just not to say anything.
Right.
Right. You've brainstormed stuff. It's there. They know it's there. Then they come up with the I'm bored thing and you just have to sort of stay strong in the hopes that they are able to like get out of their own little framework. Cause yeah. that's, I think ultimately what we're trying to teach, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey,
yeah. independence.
Yeah, exactly. You're not resilient. Reliant on, yeah. on me here. You yeah. can figure things out yourself.
Yeah.
And so that is, I think the big struggle is to try and come up with that. I know, there are countless sites out there that coming up with different ideas. Mm-hmm. One person put down, make a real old school, like mud pie.
Okay.
In the backyard or yeah. something. Hey, if it's warm out, I bet you they'd spend a decent amount of time committing to that. I don't know whether they're talking about like digging a hole in your backyard and just have at it type stuff. That seems, I don't know. I mean, if you nice care for your lawn, yeah. yeah, care for your backyard, perhaps not. But well, in some type of framework where
you live in a condo, this is completely out the window.
Maybe not the best. Yeah. There's like mini golf course.
Yeah, right? In the house. I have seen and heard of that. We have not done it, but I do love the idea, is creating a mini golf course through your house.
Yes.
Like down the stairs, all that sort of thing. And, you know, having it a 9-hole course where they have to compete and get better. Yeah, and
exactly.
And that sort of thing. I really like that idea.
Yeah, some type of obstacle course, yeah. Creating some type, like, I think there's a whole lot of things mm-hmm. that you can do with that.
Yeah.
I know that trick shots, as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know whether your kids have ever watched trick shots or things like that, but, you know, there's
I haven't seen this.
Dude Perfect. Have you ever heard of that YouTube channel? There are countless people throwing cards, trying to get them landing inside a paperclip,
right.
Throwing ping pong balls and having it bounce off something, things and getting into the a small hole or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a very, like, people are committing 2 or 3 hours for this one particular activity.
That's a good idea.
And finally getting it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they would have that type of longevity, but starting off with something like that, where there's a challenge of trying, like a carny sort of, you're making like a carny game.
Right.
Hey, can you bounce this ping pong ball 3 times and land it into this big giant clothing basket?
It's like those minute to win it games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Looking up those too.
Yeah.
Those are wicked fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of them require adult involvement, though, in terms of setting them up. Whereas the trick shots, you could probably, the kids could set them up.
Exactly.
More. Yeah.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Or
basketball hoop, or that sort of thing.
It's planting that idea. I think that once they get going on it, I would imagine they'd probably think of like, what if we do, hey, how can we do, right? And just keep moving off of that. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried that with our girls. Mm-hmm. Well, 1, 2.5, so she'd probably end up trying to destroy it all. So it's a big, I think it's more applicable for your set of age group than mine. But
now, one of the things in here, and I know this is a resource that you use more regularly than we do, but is the local library and summer reading lists for the kids.
Yeah.
Have you done that at all?
Reading lists specifically?
Or, you know, I know when I was growing up, the local library always had a list of books, and you'd get like a book passport,
right?
And if you read a certain amount of books, you'd get rewards and these kinds of things. And my parents always sponsored that. And because we were gone for most of the summer, right, we would be on the boat. It was, you know, I would bring a massive stack of books with me, and because there would be 5 or 6 days where there would be no other kids around,
right.
And this is back when there was no TV, there was no internet, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I'd be on an island, and great, I could go out and play around for a while, but eventually, you know, you just want to sit and relax.
Yep.
And so it was into books. And so I wound up reading a lot of books because of that.
I remember Hardy Boys.
Yes. Yeah.
Hardy Boys, I assume they're still being made now or not.
I don't know if they're still being made.
Hardcover, old school Hardy Boy books that I guess my father, I don't know. I had tons of those books and I would read those nonstop. That was my main thing that I read.
Mine
and I would crush those books
Red
in a
Wall
day.
Series.
Oh, I've never heard of those either.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So a lot of books out there, if they're especially facilitating reading, nothing wrong with that.
Series like that, though, like Hardy Boys and Red Wall and Babysitter's Club.
Finding kind of something stuff. Or other that they can get into for sure. Yeah, and that's what a wonderful thing for them to commit to a whole bunch of time. I also remember seeing, this was a while ago, that someone's policy was that they can have unlimited screen time provided that they get a whole bunch of things done beforehand. And one of them, chores, was probably one of them. But the one that really struck home was that they need to be playing outside for at least an hour and a half or some type of timeline.
Okay.
Okay. And the person's point is that what ended up happening is that kids don't tell what time an hour and a half is. And so they end up going and playing for like 3 hours long because they're actually having a great time.
Yeah.
And then they come back in and they're actually tired. Okay. Now you can have your quote unquote unlimited screen time, but they've done a whole bunch of things. And I think that goes back to our conversation before about the screen time. I don't think that at the end of the day, the screen time is a problem.
Yeah.
From the mental, like there are lots of things you can learn,
huge
watching videos and things like that. So it depends on what people are overall learning, but it's the sedentary part. I think that's at the core of what I think people are probably, if they really think about it, the reasons why they have an issue with it. Yeah. It's like, you're just sitting on a couch. Yeah. You're not moving anything. Right.
But I will combine that with that. There is an attitude change when they view certain, when they're on certain programs, like YouTube, as an example for our girls, seems to turn them into absolute monsters. Like the attitude level just spikes, and it is so addictive in its nature that getting them
that YouTube algorithm,
it is incredibly effective. Like Google, you guys have nailed it with getting kids like addicted to your products.
Now, do they, the YouTube Kids app?
Yes.
Have you ever same used thing. That?
Same issue.
But you can restrict channels.
Yes.
And yeah, even
it doesn't matter. It's just the idea with them being on there.
Okay.
And you know, when you want them to do dinner or lunch or whatever, getting them trying to tear them away from that,
right,
is like trying to get a junkie off of, you know, off of a drug.
Interesting.
It's really difficult and
off just and that's so every time that they're on the screen time?
Every no. Not screen time, but specifically things like YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Right. There's a few particular apps that seem to do it for our kids. I imagine it's different for other kids, but it seems to be really bad for them.
Yeah. Which, okay. Yeah, I mean, there it is.
So we've banned YouTube for the kids, which I don't like because I use YouTube a lot for educational purposes. Yeah. Like I have learned so much off of there, but I feel like a hypocrite.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't turn into an asshole.
Well, exactly.
After watching it.
Is that open for a conversation and saying, hey, obviously you folks haven't had this screen time for a long time. Do you remember why?
Like, we do
want to try it again?
We let them go back happens? Every once in a while. And it's the same thing every time. So, whereas we don't get the same problem with Netflix or that sort of thing. So, okay. Anyways, moving on. Another thing that has been suggested is a craft station inside the house. So having a location where they can pick up things to make crafts, you know, construction paper, scissors, all the coloring, all those sorts of things so that they can, I think particularly for kids like my youngest and your oldest, that is a great way for them to distract themselves. Pain in the ass to clean up afterwards.
Usually.
But.
Unless you get them to help too. Yes. Right? I mean, that's the, another big part. Are you
trying to teach responsibility at the same time, Graham? Jeez.
No. No. I just want help cleaning it up. The one thing that I find, I know you have been, we both work from home, Vanessa and I, and so we have more flexibility in terms of schedule, etc.
Yeah.
We're very much in favor of getting friends coming over to our house as much as possible because we love when the kids come over, it's like free babysitting in our opinion. Yeah. They end up going downstairs. They're doing a whole bunch of things. Like they're eventually distracted. You have to give them food. And it is, like, there's no conversation about am I bored or something like that. So I think where I'm going to is if you're able to set up within a core group of friends, right? People that you have similar interests in terms of how they maybe raise their kids or whatever, right? And create like, okay.
A child swap.
Okay, family, right? There are four of us here. Let's all, exactly, a child swap. Going over here on Tuesday, they're coming here Wednesday, and they're going over to other third friend place, fourth friends. You could cycle that through and have a huge amount of offsetting times. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have run just one or two people, like one person, then it's sort of a back and forth thing. You get four people? Well, damn. Now you can offshoot, quote unquote, their kids, assuming that they're all playing and not sitting in front of a TV. And that's where it's sort of an important part of knowing the other people that they're sending to. Because we've had some play dates. And you're like, oh, what'd you do? Oh, we watched a movie.
Yeah.
Well, what else did you do? Oh, we watched another movie. Like, what? Like, damn. Like, what a great time for you to go over there. Like, noted and not happening again type stuff. Because what was the point here? You could have easily just done that.
Yeah, that's right.
So that is... I am a firm believer of having play dates all the time, as many times as you can.
Yeah, and you're, and you know, as you mentioned right at the beginning of that, you're a believer in having them over at your house too. So not just getting them out to somebody else's house, but when other kids come to your house, they distract the kids from putting demands on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we are usually the aggressors in terms of trying to organize play dates, right?
I've noticed.
Because it's wonderful, like it serves, I think it's a, magnanimous, it's like sort of unselfish in the fact that I know that we're helping other individuals and we're benefiting ourselves.
Right.
I mean, the only, the only negative is that every now and then we have a little kitchen play area downstairs and every time it's guaranteed there's going to be water that I need to clean up down there.
Yeah.
100% of the time, there's water, right? And now it's summertime, so I'm probably going to move the thing outside.
Yeah.
But then they're coming in and out with the wet, and they're like, there's so many toys that they're going to bring out, and it's going to be a mess out there. So I'd probably just leave the water, and I'm okay with it. There's usually food crumbs lying around, but if that's the worst thing that comes of it... Mm-hmm. I'm totally fine with that. Yeah. And feeding another child.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, that is the biggest issue with having kids over is the crazy different food choices that everyone has.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare, actually. And so if I put this out as a suggestion for anyone that's listening that wants to do this, as I highly recommend before they come over, and if it's crossing over some type of chance of a snack or whatever it is, which it usually is, especially if it's a longer play date, is asking the parents first and foremost, what is it that these kids eat? Yeah. Are they picky eaters? If so, what is it they eat? We don't have any of that. Can you send some with you? Because I go, like, it is a roulette wheel of, they don't offer any, especially younger kids, right? Oh, do you want this? No. It's just a no answer. Yeah. They don't offer a suggestion of what they do want. Oh, I'm venting some frustration here because it's almost every child that has come over. It's weird. Like, I would think, like, okay, well, how about a peanut butter jam sandwich, a grilled cheese? Almost every child should like, I don't like white cheese. I only like yellow cheese. Well, it's the same thing. You realize that one has color and one doesn't. It literally is the exact same thing. No, it tastes different. Okay, well, now I have to get in an argument with a 6-year-old about how.
Yeah.
Anyways, so it's just all these different things, right? Do they like grilled cheese? Yeah. Okay, well, what about cheese color? We only have white cheese.
Okay, so what about for parents who are not home every day for the summer?
Right, well... Still, I mean, I
play dates.
Firmly believe that play date cycle thing because you can make it up to people.
Yeah.
And especially if you have to think about if you're going to put a child into daycare or something instead, right?
Yeah.
Well, daycare is expensive.
Yeah. I was just going to say that with regards to camps, like sports camps and activity camps and those sorts of things is great option. I mean, difficult this year to get into any because of COVID stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can get into them, it's a fantastic option for getting the kids out of the day, getting them active, getting them engaged, you know, intellectually stimulated,
for sure.
That sort of thing. But, man, does it hit the wall
really
fast.
Yeah. There's no question about it. So my semi-alternative is if you're able to, if you're not able to provide the back and forth with the word repper or something or other reciprocity.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, brain. working overtime here as I'm thinking through, the reciprocal treatment of, hey, child goes over there. Okay. They come here, et cetera. instead of sending them to whatever daycare thing.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, I was talking to one of my friends, they send their two children and it's $110 one day, mm-hmm. right? And that sounds like it's probably pretty par for the course, at least where we live. Maybe it's less for other people out there.
Yeah.
So if you have two children, $110 can go a decent amount of way. I mean, we went to like a what was called the Clip and Climb.
Yeah.
Which was like a rock climbing event. And there's my point is tell the parents of the other side, hey, here's $100. Why don't you take all of the children to a particular event, right?
Yeah.
And they get a heavily discounted fare.
Yeah.
And you benefit them a little bit, or maybe some $60 or whatever, something more than what it would cost for just your children to go. Yeah. And you're saving some money and they're ending up playing with their friends and getting a bunch of other ways. So just trying to, there are always different ways of doing things. And I'm very much in favor of that. I charge my friends all the time when kids come over, right? Now I realize that you're saving $100 here. So I will take 80.
Yeah.
Capitalism runs deep.
Another thing you can do is pool with some other parents and get a babysitter in, where instead of just having the cost for your kids,
right,
you share it amongst a couple of families and hire a nanny for the summer that, you know, you're all paying, pitching in some more kids, the lower cost per child.
That's a really good idea.
What are your thoughts when McKenna and Kendra are old enough? Will you send them to overnight camp in the summers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm in total agreement with it, but I know there are a lot of parents.
I'm looking at you trying to think, like, why wouldn't you?
There are a lot of parents who are anxious and don't like the idea of sending their kids away for overnights.
That's something that they're wrestling from their own, like, demons and insecurity or something, surely, right?
Potentially,
like,
yeah.
Or is there actually some type of concern that for...
Just things like bullying and that kind of stuff. And if you've got dietary restrictions or, you know, religious stuff or those sorts of things. So,
yeah, well, I mean,
I did it when I was growing up.
I
went to overnight camp and I loved it.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic experience.
I agree.
If COVID had not been around this summer, that definitely would have been something that Navina was doing.
Yeah.
She would have been going away to an overnight camp for at least a week this summer.
The bullying aspect. Yeah, I suppose, but unfortunately, you can't protect your children forever. That's another topic for another day, is trying to work through bullying and what to do with that. If your child is the bully or getting bullied, etc., are there some tools out there to help things? In my opinion, no. I think the benefits and the other points you talked about, religion or dietary restraints, etc. I mean, the kids camps now are so accommodating for dietary stuff that I don't think it's the concern there.
Yeah, that also may be our location, though, right? We're in the vegan, gluten-free...
epicenter.
Yeah. I don't know if you would find maybe the same accommodations in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. So
that's a blast, a shot across the bow there, though. I bet you they probably have.
I only reference that because that's where Rachel's dad is from. So
it's a very specific example.
One of the other things that they mentioned here, and I really like this one, is sharpen your skills. So decide at the beginning of the summer, what are some things that you really want to learn? Like, Allie this summer is focusing on learning some French. Navina wants to learn some Spanish. And so they're doing things to learn languages, that kind of stuff.
Like, right.
Whether it's videos or they're at dinner, they're asking us to tell them different words and different phrases. Like Allie, one of the things Allie is doing this summer is she's trying to see how many languages she can learn to say hello in. And so every night she goes down the list of all the different languages she's learned to say hello in. And I think she's at like 9 or 10 languages right
now. Neat.
And she's really enjoying it. So you know, I like the idea of trying to focus for a summer yes. on a particular skill set.
And so I did this thing with your kids that I thought was exciting. It was one of the interests that Navina was having was sign language. Mm-hmm. And so on our walk, if you remember where I'm going with this, I asked her, well, what's a sign for fart? Yeah. Yeah. What's a sign for poop? What's a sign for, you know, fun, like goofy words, right? That I assume that she didn't know the answer to, right? But they're entertaining enough yeah. and you can send them off for a whole, like you can go them down that path of just finding a little bit of a seed of interest and then getting creative yourself about asking yeah. a bunch of things that,
that are funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Funny. Like, well, you don't know how to, I mean, yeah, you can spell it sign language, but I'm sure there's some type of language. There's some quick sign for fart or poop or whatever it is. Cause it's used surely enough.
Yeah.
And go find that out. And so then they can go and figure that out. Your other child was interested in handwriting. Okay. Yeah. Well, how do you handwrite fart and yeah. poop? Like, well, I need to see these things because I don't know how to do it. And
yeah.
I explore and just challenge them in that regard.
Yeah.
There's a challenge, I think, for all of us as parents and children as well. I mean, it's easy for us to say, well, let them get bored. Mm-hmm. But it's also almost a challenge for us ourselves to try and think outside the box yeah. and get creative and just try and think of some ways to plant seeds of interest in our kids ourselves rather yeah. than like, well, I don't know, like just watch TV or something or other. Like it, right. Don't bother me right now. I'm trying mm-hmm. to, right. But if you're able to do a little preparation beforehand and yeah. know that this is probably going to come up and, you know,
yeah.
build yourself up with some different circumstances of tools or whatever,
yeah.
Then it goes a lot easier.
Yeah. One of the things we want to do this summer is have a summer luau. And as a part of that, the girls are going to need to prepare everything for the luau, right? So this is going to be in August. So at the beginning of August, the girls will start doing things around understanding Hawaiian or Polynesian culture. Ooh. Like what type of clothing do they wear? What type of music? What sort of decorations should we do? You know, what sort of food are we going to make, those sorts of things. And we're going to do like a pig roast in a backyard.
Right.
And that sort of thing, and invite a bunch of people from the neighborhood and you know, everybody have to wear their Hawaiian shirts
yeah.
and that kind of stuff. And so trying to make those bigger events that the girls need to educate themselves about it
yes.
at the same time as planning it and that sort of thing.
One other part that I, am wanting to do is essentially like a massive scavenger hunt of yes. sorts.
Yeah. A neighborhood scavenger hunt.
Right. If their children are old enough that they're able to go out and things like that, if not, you ratchet it back and have a scavenger's hunt in your house and try and make it right. Different things they can do there. There are a lot of activities there that you can probably, put together.
Yeah.
That is challenging enough that it will help them out.
Yeah.
Right. Like even egg hunts. I know my
yeah.
daughters, we have like reusable plastic eggs and we still do egg hunts, not Easter at all.
Yeah.
Right. But they just love finding things and opening things up and whatever it is. So you can just litter them around.
Yeah.
And make it challenging for some and say, well, listen, there are X many and you've only found a lot. And mm-hmm. how many more, like if you're, but you can teach math as well. How many do you have left?
Yeah.
Why don't you figure that out? How many more do you, okay, well, right. There's,
yeah, exactly.
There are opportunities there. That may have a bit of involvement from you, but mm-hmm. it just gets them going.
Now, the last one I was thinking of, and I'm going to do this as a bit of a setup for our next episode, because mm-hmm. I think this is a good one. A lot of the, articles and stuff mention teaching them about entrepreneurship and summer jobs.
Yes.
And I think that one is big enough, particularly for you and I, to talk about for it to be an entire episode.
Yeah.
So I think that will be our next episode. But entrepreneurship and summer work, that sort of thing, is a massive one for keeping kids busy.
Absolutely.
And I think in our next episode, we'll go through some of the ideas for what you can do with a kid in terms of whether it's summer work or all year round work, but how to teach them entrepreneurship.
Yes, I'm in definite favor of that. As two capitalists talking in a podcast about stuff. Yeah, probably you're not going to get much pushback from the job aspect of things.
Two business owners wanting to talk about entrepreneurship? Who would have thought? So thank you, everyone, for listening. And Graham, great chat. I think we came up with some really good ideas for how to keep kids busy through the summer. You know, sponsoring educational aspects and intellectual development and creativity and getting them out of your hair. And yeah. I love the idea of shared responsibility over the kids. You know, the whole it takes a village to raise a child, yeah. right, is leaning on your social network in play dates and all those sorts of things. I think that's a great topic. So if you haven't had a chance yet, or if you haven't done it yet, please go and subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Also, written reviews make a huge difference for us. So if you're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, just take a second and go down and rate the podcast and put in a couple of notes. What did you really like about this episode? What do you like about Graham and I? What do you hate about us? Whatever you want to put in there, just make sure it's 5 stars.
yeah, have the most negative 5-star review possible. Yeah. That's totally fine.
And make sure to go to flaweddad.com to check us out. And you can email us at hello@flaweddad.com.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great day.